بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receivers, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us life, we will continue our discussion on maut, death, the haqiqat of maut, the reality of maut, qabr, hashar, etc. We had discussed already the past two Mondays various aspects on maut and how the angels descend, how they extract the ruh of the believer and the disbeliever, how they carry the souls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dignity, the honor, the respect that is shown to the ruh, to the soul of a believer, to the soul of the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which discusses the meeting and the conversing of the ruh, the arwah, the souls after maut. What we should understand, that one is dunya, one is akhirat. And in between dunya and akhirat, the world is known as alame barzakh. Now many things that take place there, that is, we cannot really understand or apply the analogy of dunya. That's a totally different world. But we have a glimpse of some of the things that take place there, which have been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many kitabs have mentioned hadith, various narrations have been mentioned, many kitabs have been written. There is one kitab, Kitab al-Ruh, Allama Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, and they discuss various topics in those kitabs, which require a lot of explanation. We are just going to mention a few important aspects, because that is a different realm. Our main focus and maqsad is to prepare for the hereafter, so that our ruh can be taken away swiftly and gently by the angels of mercy and carried with great honor and dignity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ نَفْسَ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِذَا قُبِضَتْ يَلْقَاهَا أَهْلُ الرَّحْمَةِ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ. That when the ruh of a mu'min is taken out and now he is placed into the qabr, then the marhum, all those who have passed away already, the deceased, now we're talking about alam-e barzakh, where the souls are meeting. So they say that this ruh of a mu'min that is taken out, then the marhumin, those who have passed away already, they come forward to meet this person in the same manner that a bringer of glad tidings is met in the dunya. Like how a person comes with some khush khabri, some good news, and every person runs to him, they are delighted, they welcome him, they embrace him, they listen very attentively. So like that, when this good person, this mu'min, when his soul is gone into the qabr, in whichever way now, these arwah, the souls then meet this soul in the same manner that a bringer of glad tidings is met in the dunya. Then there's a conversation that takes place. Some of them say they let him rest, he just come from the dunya. Thereafter, they begin to ask him, how is a certain person? They get some information about dunya. How's this person? How's that person? Did that woman then marry? Probably some person's relative in the dunya. When he left this world, she was not married. They ask, that person married. They ask, what happened to if they happen to ask of a person who had died before him already, this person, his ruh is taken, he's gone to the qabr. And when those deceased souls ask him about a certain person, not knowing that that person has already passed away, and they ask him about that person, so he replies and he says, that person has died before me. So when they hear that, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And they say, he must have been taken to his abode, that is Jahannam. Otherwise he would have been here. فَإِذَا سَأَلُوهُ عَنِ الرَّجُلِ الَّذِي قَدْ مَاتَ قَبْلَهُ فَيَقُولُ إِنَّهُ قَدْ مَاتَ ذَاكَ إِنَّهُ قَدْ مَاتَ ذَاكَ قَبْلِهِ فَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ ذَهَبَ بِهِ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ الْحَاوِيَةِ. So they realized that that person then was not brought here where all his good souls have assembled. So he must have been taken to his abode in Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala save us. Rasulullah explained Ummuhu al-Hawiyah. The word Hawiyah comes in the Quran. It is a bad place to go to and a bad place to live in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentions, Inna a'malakum turaddu ala aqaribikum wa ashairikum min ahli al-akhirah. That all your deeds are presented before your family and relatives who are already have left this world. So if we have parents who have passed away already, family members, our elders, our mashayikh, our ulama, close ones who have already passed away, our actions, according to this hadith which is mentioned, Ibn Abi Dunya in Tabrani, in his Awsat, Sharh al-Sudur has mentioned, Hazrat Thani Ram has mentioned in the beginning, he said, the Shawqi Watan, he has mentioned all his ahadith. So these, the hadith says that all our a'mal, whether it's good or bad, is presented to the deceased members of our family. For example, if a person's father has passed away, then our a'mal is presented to him as well. In other words, he comes to know what type of deeds we are doing in this world. If deeds are pious, they become happy. And they become joyful. And they say, Oh Allah, this is your grace, your favor and mercy. Complete your benefaction on him. Grant him death on it. In other words, on favors, on mercy, etc. The deeds of sinners are also presented before them, whereupon they say, Oh Allah, put piety in his heart, which becomes the cause of your pleasure and nearness. So in one hadith it is mentioned, that do not embarrass your deceased one. لَا تَفْضَحُوا أَمْوَاتَكُمْ. Don't disgrace, don't embarrass them with your evil deeds. Just like how in the dunya, if your parent who is alive and somebody comes and tells him, your son has done this terrible action, this terrible deed. So the father becomes embarrassed. He feels disgusted. Like that, the only difference is we can't see our deceased members of our family who have already passed away. We can't see them expressing their disgust and dismay at our deeds. But this is what they express. This is the dua they give. Or they become embarrassed at our actions. Therefore, it is imperative that we do good actions. Allah Ta'ala wants us to do good actions, lest we make our deceased members embarrassed in the qabr because of our actions. Sayyidina Sa'id bin Jubair radiallahu ta'ala says, when someone dies and his children have already passed away before him, so his children in Alim Arwah, which is the abode of souls, they welcome him just like the one who returns after an absence. So if your child has already passed away and then the parent passes away, so the child comes and embraces or meets the parent, the soul. The souls meet just like after a person comes from a very long journey and he has been absent from very long. How delighted the people become, like that this child or the soul of the child goes and meets that of the father. Another hadith is mentioned when someone dies, then his family and relatives who had died before, they surround him from all sides. They are happy and he is happy much more than that traveler who returns home to his family. The honor and the respect at the time of tajheez and takfeen. Tajheez is when you giving the ghusl and we put in the kafan. So we're preparing the body for ghusl, and takfeen is the kafan. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Amr bin Dinar radiallahu ta'ala, the ruh of a deceased after dying remains in the hands of an angel from where it observes how his body is being given ghusl, how kafan is put on, how it is being carried. While the body is still on the bier, the coffin, the angel says to him, listen to the people praising you. So this hadith says, the body is there, is being given ghusl, but the ruh watches everything. The ruh actually sees the people who are giving it ghusl. It observes. It watches how the kafan is being put on and how it is being carried. And the angels say, as the people are carrying this janazah, the angel tells the soul that listen to the people praising you. So this is the honor and dignity Allah Ta'ala keeps for such people. Then also Allah has got angels in the skies. And also it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that for every believer there are two, for every human there are two doors in the sky. Babun yas'adu minhu amaluh wa babun yanzilu minhu rizquh. From which one door, his actions, they ascend. Whatever deeds he has done, it goes up and through this door into the asman, to the sky. And from the other one, his rizq, his rosy descents. فَإِذَا مَاتَ الْعَبْدُ الْمُؤْمِنِ بَكِيَا عَلَيْهِ. When a believer passes away, then these two doors begin to cry. They begin to weep for him. He was a believer, and they used to see his good deeds coming up and his halal rosy coming down. So they begin to cry because now he's no longer, his rosy coming down, no longer his deeds are going up. Another hadith, it is mentioned, any person who makes sajda for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on any portion of the earth, that portion of earth will give evidence on that person's behalf. Wherever a person makes salat or sajda, then on the day of Qiyamah, that portion of land will bear testimony on your behalf. Ya Allah, he made sajda on me. And it will weep for him on the day of his death. That portion of earth will weep for him on the day of his death. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, also this is mentioned Ibn Abi Dunya al-Hakim in Sharh al-Sudur, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لَتَبْكِي عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ أَرْبَعِينَ صَبَاحًا. The earth weeps for the believer for 40 days. The earth weeps for the believer. Then there are angels that accompany the janazah. But of a believer, Allah Ta'ala sends more angels to honor the death of this believer, to honor this believer. Then there are great favors when a person, a believer, is placed into the qabr. There are many ahadith now we are talking about. After the salat, janazah, we mentioned last week, a person who attends the janazah, he gets one qirat. He goes to the qabristan, another qirat. We explained the sawab equivalent to Mount Uhud. Now when the person is placed in the qabr, there's a hadith which is mentioned that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, you have told me about the voice of Munkar and Nakir. Munkar and Nakir are the two angels who will question every person in the qabr. They will ask the person, Man Rabbuk, who is your Allah? Who is your Rabb? Ma Deenuk, what's your Deen? Man Hadha Rajul, they will ask, who is this man? And the image or the picture of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Rasulullah will be shown to the person. And obviously if he cannot recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will not be able to give the answer. If he did not live a life on Deen, he can't see that Islam was my Deen. If he didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not be able to see Rabbi Allah. And therefore, it is mentioned, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقُولِ ثَابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah Ta'ala gives the believer, Allah keeps him steadfast in dunya and in the qabr. So when the Munkar al-Nakir question him, he'll very easily give the answer. Very easily. So she says that, Ya Rasul, you told me about Munkar and Nakir. And of course, the description of Munkar and Nakir as we go along, the description, they look very, very frightening. Very frightening indeed. And Rasulullah also told her that when this person is buried, and as he's lowered into the grave closes upon the person and presses the person. Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, who we discussed, that 70,000 angels came down for his janazah, and Rasulullah had to tiptoe in his janazah. We discussed that in detail. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witnessed this pressing of the qabr on Sa'ad. And he said, if anybody had to be spared this, it would have been Sa'ad. But there's a reason for this. And in this hadith it is mentioned, it is explained, that this pressing of the qabr on a believer is not causing him any pain and harm. So if it was causing pain and harm, then Sa'ad bin Mu'az would have been spared of it. So she says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa, you told me about Munkar and Nakir, and the voice of Munkar and Nakir, and how they will question me, Man Rabbuk, Ma Deenuk, Man Hadar Rajul. And you even mention about the pressing of the inmate, of the qabr, pressing its inmate. So nothing is helping me, nothing is consoling me. I'm getting even more afraid, I'm worried. And it's natural. Many people ask, what's going to happen in qabr? What about all these things that will take place? So Rasulullah explained, O Aisha, the voice of Munkar and Nakir in the ears of a mu'min will be like ithmit surma in the eyes, which delights the eyes. And the pressing in the grave for a mu'min will be comfortable like that of a compassionate mother to whom her child complains of a headache, and she softly presses his head. So easy, so beautifully, Rasulullah explained, like how a person puts surma, the beautiful surma on a person puts on Eid day. So it brings delight to the eye. So this Munkar and Nakir's voice will not cause pain. It won't make the person, believer, afraid. The believer will be able to answer, and he will be able to talk to them in a very easy way. He won't become afraid of Munkar and Nakir. And also this pressing will be a gentle press, like how the mother presses the child's head. But Ya Aisha, woe to those who doubt the existence of Allah. Woe to those who doubt the existence of Allah and complain about His commands. They will be pressed in the graves like a stone put on an egg and it is pressed. In other words, this believer and all those people who have shubuhat and they have doubts regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have doubts regarding qabr and akhirat, they have not prepared for akhirat. So they will, like how you put a huge stone on an egg, causing it to smash and crack, like that will be the condition of these people who disbelieve in and reject Allah Ta'ala when they are put into the qabr. Rasulullah said, when a Muslim is buried, when a mu'min is buried, the grave says to him, Marhaban, Ahlan, welcome to you. You are the most beloved to me from all those who walked on me on the surface of the earth. From all the people who walked on me on the earth, you are the most beloved to me. Today when I have been made your khadim, your servant, and you have come to me, you will observe my dealing with you and how I should entertain you. It is mentioned this qabr expands for him as far as his eyes can see, and it opens for him a door into Jannah. So a mu'min is gone into the qabr, it welcomes him and it addresses him or her and says that I will entertain you in the best of ways. And then the qabr expands. Oh, you and I, we can't understand this expansion of the earth in the qabr. Allah Ta'ala has got that a different realm, different alam. And that's why right in the beginning I mentioned, we cannot apply the analogy of this world, that how things are expanding for the person. This is the reality Allah Ta'ala has kept. Hence it expands for him as far as I can see, and it opens for him a door to Jannah. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the qabr is either a garden from the gardens of Jannah or a pit amongst the pits of Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala make our qabr a rawdatun min riyadil Jannah, a garden of the gardens of Jannah. When you make dua, We must make these du'as. Oh Allah, make my qabr a rawdatu min riyad al-jannah. Ya Allah, don't make it a hufratu min hufari nar. Hufra in Arabic means a pit. In whatever language, Ya Allah, don't make it a pit of the pits of Jahannam. Rasulullah said, when a dead person is buried, now these are the two angels that come, Munkar and Nakir. The color is black. They are black angels with very, very piercing blue eyes. Now this blue eyes, not like a person dunya is very handsome and blue eyes. Here is very piercing, very frightening. They both ask him the question, Man Rabbuk, Ma Deenuk, who is this person regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they ask him about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will say that he is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is my Nabi. He is my Nabi. He is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels both will reply, we knew that you are going to give this answer. In other words, he gave all correct answers. They said, we knew you were going to give this answer. Then his grave is widened 70 dhira cubits by 70. 70 by 70. And then his qabr is illuminated. Many times we find, we give dua, Nawwar Allahu marqada. May Allah Ta'ala brighten his qabr. May Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. So because we know the qabr is a place of darkness. It's a place of darkness. But for a mu'min, it is brightened. And brightened by what? Not the lights of this world. Lights of akhirat. So the person is not kept with any discomfort. In fact, he's more comfortable in the qabr than here. Dunya, he's afraid that some enemy might attack some animal. There he's got angels there. And the door of Jannah he is seeing. In one riwayat it is mentioned, the person might say that, let me go to my family so that I may inform them. They say to him, no, you sleep now. Now you must make aram. And you must sleep like a groom. Is only awakened by that person who is most beloved to him from his family. Sleep like a groom. As though your nikah took place, now you're a groom and you must relax and you must sleep. Until Allah Ta'ala will resurrect you from that sleep on the day of Qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith is mentioned, that I take a qasam in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whose hands is my life. When a mayyit is put in his grave, he hears the footsteps of the people when they leave him. He hears the footsteps of the people when they leave him. If he's a mu'min, of course, the moment the people leave him, then the munkar and nakir immediately they question him, the three questions. And that's why we make dua at the qabr, Allahumma thabbitthu bil iman. Oh Allah, keep him steadfast on iman. But as the people leave, and they question him now, those three questions. After that, it is mentioned, his salah comes to him and stands at his head side. His zakat comes at his right hand side. His roza comes at his left hand side. His good deeds, his piety, his ihsan to the people come at his feet. If azab has to come to him for any wrong that he had done, if azab is coming to him from his head side, his salah will say, there's no entrance from my side. Sorry. In other words, his salat will protect him from his head side. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the salat is like the head of a body. There's no head, the body is useless. So important is salat. So the salat of the person will protect him if azab is coming to him from his head side. May Allah Ta'ala make us real namazis. Namaz with khushu, with khudu, on time, paband, punctual. It must not be a burden upon us. Munafiqeen will take namaz as a burden. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى haphazardly, lazily. There's no heart attached to it, no mind. So salat is so important. And salat not just for ourselves. Imagine we're living in homes, our youngsters, we are coming for salat. We don't even have the himmat of bringing our children, I'm not talking about those minors,
our adult children who are baligh to come for salat. The child is busy watching television, busy on the internet, or busy with his friends, or he's preparing, putting his soccer trunks to go play soccer, or he's busy doing homework or some schoolwork. We have no himmat. We have lost all courage. In fact, we're not himmat. We can't even command our child to perform salat. Our woman folk, our young daughters, other members of our family, how often is the function? It's zuhr time. Some people are going for salat. There are many other baligh men, fit and healthy. There's no sharia excuse for them. All sitting and chatting and talking. Nobody has the courage of, bhai, let's go for salat. Namaz time is up. We'll go and come back and we'll carry on discussing with them. So we must worry about our salat, salat of our family members at least. Then we have neighbors. So with a lot of hikmat, with wisdom, so easily, bhai, you know what? Why don't you come pick me up for namaz because I get a bit late? This is the hikmat you use. This is wisdom. So you give him some responsibility. See, I'll pick you up sometime, you pick me up. Like that, the other neighbors. And if a person starts doing that, in the hadith we did, man sanna sunnatan hasanatan, that person who introduces or he paves the way of one good deed, people who are not doing that good amal, you started it, an action which is accepted by Shariat, any good action, and you started it, you initiated it, you will get the sawab for all those people till they live in this world. Whatever sawab they get for doing that action, you will also get the sawab. So it is so simple. And we should try and do it. Phone our friends, wake them up for Fajr Salat. You will get the sawab of that person coming for Fajr Salat. I don't wake him up 12 o'clock, 1 hour before Fajr now, telling him, get ready for Fajr Namaz. Our women folk also encourage them. If you look at the ummah today, what percentage of people are performing salat? We're not even talking about what type of salat. Allah forgive us, our salat is not like how we should really be performing. Nonetheless, what percentage of this ummah is performing salat? We are traveling by plane. How often we see? We're going for umrah. We went to Makkah and Medina. We met everybody. And we are saying, we're going to our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, we should be happy. But on that flight, okay, women folk, probably they're not in taharat. That's what we have to think. But there's so many men, they're sitting, snoozing next to us. But when the food comes, suddenly they wake up, they eat their food, but they don't have any salat. Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, sometimes Isha, whatever the flight, whatever salat times are. Mashallah, many brothers will wake up and go. But there are many who will be seated there. We don't even have the himmat of telling them, by namaz time is up, let's read our salat. Going on a Mubarak journey. Now we can't make excuses that we don't have wudu. It's difficult, everybody knows. Shariat has explained to us how we should make wudu in those circumstances. Now you can't make tayammum there, you'll have to make wudu. It might be difficult to read that salat on plane, but there are some facilities or there's some space that you can find. In some airlines, they've got a special place for salat. In other airlines, if you ask them, they'll make space for you. There's no excuse. Thousands of people are doing it. When they are flying, why should we have an excuse? Don't say, I did qaza afterwards. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of our salat, our qaza wa ada even. We are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just digressed a bit because this is so important. The very first action, amal, the very first deed regarding which a person will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah, from all our actions, the very first thing he'll be asked about is Salat. Imagine examination paper comes and the first question, out of 100 it is 30 marks or 40 marks, and the first question you have got wrong. What's going to happen to the remaining questions? So we've become pabandh. Look at our masjid. Why is it not filled? Every salat like how Jummah is filled. How many years will go past? MashaAllah, our zahir we have made effort on. We're trying to make effort on our batin. Make the adri asset, let us make dua to Allah. Allah must give us, as Thani Rahman mentioned, that it's difficult, but first you force yourself to do that action, Then after that it becomes easy, and this is one of the ways of you gaining the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine those areas you go, masjid are full. Any namaz you go, masjid are full. How happy a person becomes. It's a different matter if you were just a handful of Muslims living in this area. So how are we going to make our masjid full? Simple. Each person just makes one effort on one person only. Just one person. If, for example, 200 people are coming, and 200 people are going to bring, call another 200 people, 400 people already in the masjid. And you will get the sawab for it. So this is something for us, inshallah, we go back in our own ways, with hikmat, with wisdom, that don't go and start making noise and forcing the person, and then he utters words of kufr. No, very big, be very careful of that. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of becoming muqimeen as-salah. There's a difference between just reading salat and establishing salat. So this salat comes in a person from his head side. And he says, there's no entrance for you on my side. Then if azab is coming to the person from the right side, his zakat will say, there's no entrance from my side. Zakat will defend him. Now here is another subject. So many people, years of zakat they have not given. And only 2.5%. If you haven't given, then go to the ulama, go to the muftis, find out exactly so many years. In my time of jahiliyyah, ignorance, I wasn't dindar, I did not give zakat. What must I do? How much must I give? How do I calculate it? Go and find out. At least when you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at this, you are safe from azab of the qabr. Then if azab is coming from him, from his left hand side, roza, sawm will say there's no entrance from my side. So his roza will protect him. If azab is coming from his feet, his good deeds, whatever are the good deeds he did, his piety, his taqwa, and his ihsan, his kindness to the people, his ihsan to people, that will come. And this will say, there's no entrance for you from our side. So this is how Allah Ta'ala protects the person from azab. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Muslim male or female who dies on a Friday night. Friday night means from Thursday, Maghrib, Friday starts already. Right till our Friday evening, Maghrib. That's the whole Friday. So the night, Friday night in the hadith is mentioned, is talking about the night before Jumu'ah. But in other hadith is mentioned the day of Jumu'ah. So whether the person passes Thursday night after Maghrib, he passes away during on Friday, whatever it is. But a person who passes on a Friday, male or female, is safe from the azab of the qabr. We have no right to say, hey, but he was like this and he was like that. Allah, he is our Malik, he is Sami', he is Basir, he is Alim, Khabir, he is Ghafoor, he is Rahim. If he wishes to give some person like this, he has the right to do so. So Allah Ta'ala saves him from azab of the qabr. He will meet Allah Ta'ala without giving account of his deeds. On the day of Qiyamah, he will come in such a state that he will have witnesses who will give testimony for him. So this is, when a person passes on a Friday, may Allah Ta'ala give all of us maut on a Friday. May Allah Ta'ala give us maut on a Friday, in a condition that Allah Ta'ala is most pleased with us. There's another hadith that mentioned that when a person passes away in a place other than his birthplace, far away from his birthplace, his qabr is widened from the place of his demise right till the place of his birthplace. So wherever he passed away, right from there his qabr is widened so far, right till where he was born. As Thani Rahmatullah has mentioned in the commentary, from this, the virtue of passing away in a foreign land is proven. From this, virtue of passing away in a foreign land is proven. Some person gone, in the path of Allah, he passes away. Somebody gone for Umrah, for Hajj, person passes away. Whoever person gone for some good work, and he passes away, and look at the fazilat. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when an alim passes away, Allah Ta'ala gives his knowledge a form. And that form becomes his friend and companion till the day of Qiyamah. And it protects him from any type of discomfort in the qabr. So if there were anything in the qabr that would have harmed him, Allah Ta'ala gives that ilm a form, and that ilm protects him from that azab. Of course, ulama explained that ilm, not just niri ilm, just knowledge, just that, but he must make amal on that knowledge. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to become ulama who make amal with ikhlas, and Allah Ta'ala must accept it. There are many hadith of different types of people who are saved from azab of the qabr. One hadith says that Rasulullah said, the one who is killed by the disease of his stomach. Like we know, there's a whole list. There's a whole list of ulama have compiled. As Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah has written, who are the shuhada? Who is the shaheed? One shaheed we know, generally, the person who passes away is killed in the battlefield, defending Islam. So Sahaba asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he mentioned that the person passes away, no, the Rasulullah said, when Sahaba questioned him, is that person also a shaheed regarding, for example, a person passes away with this because of a stomach disease? He said yes. So they could not understand that isn't only those who pass away on the battlefield, they are shaheed. Rasulullah said, then if that's the case, then the shuhada of my ummah will be very few in number. And it is Rasulullah's desire that the shuhada of his ummah must be many. And therefore is mentioned in the hadith, now again we're digressing a bit, if a wall collapses on a person, Allah save us, but if a wall has to fall on some person and that leads to his death, he dies as a shaheed. Person who passes away because of a stomach disease, mabtoon, he dies as a shaheed. So there are various, a person who drowns, he dies as a shaheed. He's defending his family and property and is killed. Shaheed. Yes, there's a difference in the ahkam. Certain laws of that shaheed who dies, passes away, is killed in the battlefield, and the others. But all fall under the category of shuhada in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us shahadat in his path. So in this hadith we talk about now, being saved from azab of the qabr. The person who is killed by the disease of the stomach will not be punished in his grave. Then we mentioned the other night on Thursday that the person who recites Surah Mulk every night, Allah Ta'ala will save this person through the blessing of Surah Mulk. Allah will save him from azab of the qabr. Now, as mentioned on Thursday, Surah Mulk 30 verses. 30 verses won't take us 30 minutes. We read it the other day, hardly even 5 minutes. After Isha Salat, those who know it by heart, read it in your Sunnah and Nafil. It's an easy way, those who know it by heart and won't get stuck. Otherwise, you see many brothers, mashallah, after Maghrib Salat, immediately go in front or in the back and they're reading the Surah Waqia or Surah Mulk. This is part of our ma'mulat. This is bringing amal into our lives. Not just coming, mashallah, and out again. Tasbihat, dhikr, dua. These surahs, masnoon surahs. And if we start doing it, others see, what is he? Hey, this man, after namaz, always is reading. So he gets a tawfiq of also reading. Imagine if a masjid, mashallah, everybody, Surah Yasin, Surah Mulk, Surah Waqia, Tilawat of Quran, Dhikr, Dua. How nice it becomes. And then another hadith, Ramadan. People ask this question, Mawlana, I passed away Ramadan, what's the? Even when a person passes away in the month of Ramadan, then he is also saved from azab of the qabr. Verily, in the month of Ramadan, punishment is lifted from the dead. Or that punishment is lifted from those passing away in the month of Ramadan. So, this hadith, ulama say that there's two aspects. One is, it could mean, in the month of Ramadan, azab is lifted from all the marhumin because of the barakat of that month. Other hadith or explanation is, that person who passes away, like how he passed away on a Friday, whoever passes away in the month of Ramadan, whether it's day or night, then he also is safe from azab of the qabr. May Allah Ta'ala give us more in Ramadan as well. Nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is impossible. I was reading the other day of one person who should make dua, Ya Allah, make me pass away while performing salat in sajda. And Allah Ta'ala gave him that. So we should ask Allah for good duas. Allah, make me pass away in Madinah Sharif. If Allah wishes, definitely He'll answer. And if that is not muqaddar, but the dua that you made, for that He is going to reward you. Either some bala He'll move away, or He'll store that for you in the akhirat. So ask Allah for a good maut in a good place. In one hadith, Rasulullah says, the person who dies without making wasiyah, without a will and testament, will not be allowed to talk to those who already died. I said the arwah, they meet, they talk. But that person who lived this world without making a wasiyah, a will and testament, that's another whole subject, and mashallah, many ulama are having talks on this, on a will, shari'i will. You can get that from the Jamiat. Each person should have his will. So that when you pass away, there's no problem. And the will must be not your own, whatever. You keep it according to Islamic principles, Islamic Sharia laws. How Quran and Hadith have said you should distribute your wealth, and who are your heirs on your demise, and those people. Yes, one third, if you wish to give for some Muslim organization, or you want to give to some person, Muslim person, who is not an heir, there's a different masail, then that's a bequest that you make, but you should have a will, you should have a testament. So in this hadith, look at this, person dies without making wasiyah, he will not be allowed to talk to those who already died. It was asked, Ya Rasulullah, do the deceased converse among themselves? He replied, yes. They visit one another too there in that different alam. They visit one another. They meet one another. Now I explained in the beginning again, and I will reiterate, that alam is different. It's a different alam. Allah keeps the arwah of the believers. Allah makes them happy. So they are meeting one another there. And the meeting and conversing, what type and all the details, only Allah Ta'ala knows best. We don't have to probe into all those things, and how they meet, and all the different details, and what they will ask, and what happens. We are not going to be questioned regarding all that. That's a few things that have been mentioned. Ulama have mentioned in the hadith. So that we don't become so afraid. And we have hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And so that we can prepare for the akhirat. May Allah ta'ala give us a good maut, maut with iman. May Allah keep our qabr full of noor and rahmat, and the door of Jannah is open for us. And may Allah make it a garden of gardens of paradise. And our hashar also Allah must make with ease. And our passing of pul sirat with ease. Our entrance into Jannah with ease. We just have a few minutes more, inshallah. So we continue, and we mention about, now we're talking about the qabr, the qabristan. It is mentioned that Hassan, Ibn al-Hassan, Ibn Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. In other words, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala's grandson. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala's son, we know, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala's son was also Hassan. Now he passed away, he was very young. But he had a wife and he had kids. He was young still. He had wife and he had children, little children. His wife couldn't take it when he passed away. And she was full of grief. So she took a little children, few babies she had, and she pitched up some type of tent near his qabr. And she took a qasam, she'll remain there for one whole year. And she did so. She used to sit and cry there. But on the passing of 1 year, now she got tired. Or she said she'll sit there. After 1 year she took everything and she went away. It is mentioned as she's going away, she heard the voice of a caller saying, Al-wajadu ma faqadu. Did you find what you missed? You came there, sitting there, thinking that that person who's gone, maybe he'll come away again. It's impossible. In other words, you shouldn't even be doing such things. This is the reality. Okay, she did that. Doesn't mean now because she did that from that, now we also must do that. No. The point here, that the caller said that, did you find what you lost? No. When a person leaves this world, it is impossible for him to come back. As much as we will desire that person, to come back. And to be have that gham, huzn, we are human beings, we'll miss our ulama, mashayikh, our father, our mother, our little child, our family members, our friend, we'll miss them. Sahaba miss Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what is the lesson that you learn? Just as this person left this world, he's gone, he's crossed the bridge now, he's gone to akhirat, I too will have to pass this bridge. And therefore, let me also do the good actions this person did. And let me abstain from those evil actions that this person abstained from. This is the ibrat we take. Otherwise, Rasulullah said, "Kafa bil mawti wa'idha." That maut is sufficient. An advisor. He gives us wa'iz, bayan, maut. Maut is warning us by, this person is gone, next is your turn. And we have to prepare for the year after death. That's why Rasulullah mentioned, akyasul akyas. Everybody intelligent, mashallah. But the most intelligent of all those who are intelligent is that person who suppresses his desires and he prepares for the akhirat. So there's no fayda in going pitching up your tent and sitting there and you can cry whole day and night. That person is not going to come out of the qabr and come back into this world. Therefore you go home, you said isale sawab for the deceased person and you also prepared to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Rasulullah went to Tabuk, I mentioned this story before, but because it related to Qabr, I will mention it again. When Rasulullah went to Tabuk, and we know the incident of Tabuk, they spent many days there. It was a war that was supposed to take place against the Romans, but after so many days, the Romans had, they fled, they ran away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that I stood up one night, I went to see, check for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I see his bedding, I did not find him. So I went quickly. I went to the bedding of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. I did not find him. I turned around looking for Umar, I did not find him. He said, this is the middle of the night. And suddenly I see in the distance some light. So I move closer to the light. And as I come closer, I see there is a qabr that's being dug. And I see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going into the qabr. The kitab has mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, performed janazah salat of the sahaba ikram. But as far as going into the qabr, there were only a few times that he himself went into the qabr. So those were very, very, very lucky ones. Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, first person who passed away, first person to bring iman, first person in whose qabr Rasul went down and he buried her. There were five or six of them where Rasul himself went. Yes, he was present at the janazah, etc. But five or six occasions where he himself went down. So he sees Rasul down in the qabr and Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu ta'ala are holding some person and they putting him lowering and Rasul saying, bring your brother more closer, bring him more closer. Like how when we go to the Qabristan and we bring somebody, those who are down, somebody else from top is saying, bring him more closer, hold him properly, lower the body. So Rasulullah is giving them direction, instructions. And he sees somebody is in a coffin. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu ta'ala are now lowering him and Rasulullah is standing there and putting this body down. And then he says, I went closer, I see Rasulullah shedding tears. And then Rasulullah makes a dua, oh Allah, I am so happy with this sahabi of mine. Ya Allah, you also become happy with him. Ya Allah, I am so happy with him tonight. Ya Allah, you become happy with him. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, I wished I was that sahabi there. That Rasulullah is carrying his body. And who is burying Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhu? Nobody else is there. It's the three of them only. And Rasulullah is expressing this dua for this sahabi. And his happiness for this sahabi. How I wish I was that sahabi, he said. Who is saying this? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. Himself such a great sahabi, that Rasulullah says, that the legs of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will be more heavier than the Mount of Uhud. He said, Wallahi an akuna ana al-mayyit. I wish I was that mayyit. And who was this? His name was, his title was Dhul Bijadain. The person who was draped in two garments, two sheets.
when he embraced Islam, his uncle had chained him, began to punish him. His real name was Abdullah. And began to punish him. No food, beat him up. So one day he managed to escape. And his uncle had actually removed all his clothing, he had nothing to wear. They took away all his garments. So his mother had one big chadar, big sheet. She cut it into two pieces. He used the bottom to cover his bottom and the top just to cover his chest. And he comes like that to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Akram sallam sees him. Ya dhal bijadain. He smiles at him. Ye do chadar wale. Or one who's draped in two sheets. From that day, sahaba call him dhul bijadain. So this was his. Allah Ta'ala must have been so happy with him. What a mubarak maut he gets. It is mentioned in a couplet, it's in Arabic. Wallahi law aasha al-fata fi umurihi alfan min al-a'wami malikun amrah. Allah's qasam, if a youngster, a youth, if he lives his life, even if he's given 1,000 years to live in this world, and in this 1,000 years, mashallah, he's got good control, or he has got, Allah has given him control over many things. Allah has given him plenty of this dunya. مُتَنَعِّمًا فِيهَا بِكُلِّ لَذِيذَ. Every pleasure, whatever he wants, entertainment, food, drink, everything is given. مُتَلَذِّذًا فِيهَا بِسُكْنَا قَصْرِهِ. He's got beautiful mansion, good home, got everything. لَا يَعْتَرِيهِ الْهَمُّ طُولَ حَيَاتِهِ. No grief, no misery, no worry, no pain, no suffering for this entire period in this dunya. Nothing happened to him. No sickness, nothing. He had a life of a king. Whatever food he wanted, he had the best of cars, khadims, everything. Kalla wala taridul humum bisadrihi. And there was no distress, pain coming onto his chest. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Ma kana dhalika kulluhu fi ay yafiya fiha bi awwal laylatin fi qabri. All that enjoyment, entertainment, merriment, badshah ki zindagi, all that 1,000 years if he was given, everything comes to zero, to naught, all forgotten totally, just by the first night of the qabr. The first night of the qabr. And the person passes away, when he's put in the qabr, the first night. All those 1,000 years of enjoyment can't equal the first night of the qabr. And therefore, we have to prepare for that first night of the qabr with good a'mal. And if a mu'min, we explain, I gave all the hadith from which Hazrat Thani has compiled, not so that we look forward to this journey of the hereafter. That's why Hazrat Thani has kept the name Shoqi Watan, Shoq, yearning, longing to go to a Watan. Where's our abode? We came from Jannat. Because some, of course, you would read both ahadiths. The ahadiths we talk about azab also, so we, Allah Ta'ala protects us and we can save ourselves from that azab. But because today people become so distressed and so grieved and so remorse that they lose all hope and they feel, oh no, we can't make it. Therefore he has mentioned such ahadiths that gives a person himmat. And that's what we require. So to look forward to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mawtu jisrun yusirul habib ila al-habib. Maut is his bridge that makes the lover meet his beloved. So for believer, we must be happy. We must make sure that our qabr is rawdatun min riyadil jannah. And we must plant those beautiful flowers of our amal so that we can get the breeze of jannat in the qabr. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, he should go to the qabr. Visiting the qabristan, when he stands by the qabr, he would cry and cry and cry. So much the hadith says that his lihya, his beard would become drenched with his sobbing, with his tears. Somebody asked him, Sayyidina Uthman, you read about Jannah, Jahannam, you're not crying that time. Why are you crying so much? Of course he used to cry when you read about Jannah, Jahannam and Azab and things like that. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he said so much of tilawah, so much of Quran, with so much of tadabbur. So, but qabr, why are you crying so much? Why are you crying more?
You see, إِنَّهُ أَوَّلُ مَنْزِلٍ مِّن مَنَازِلِ الْآخِرَةِ. This is the first stop. First stop of the stops of the Akhirat. If a person passes here, there's great hope and chances for him to pass in the remaining stops. He fails here, then things are looking very bleak for him afterwards. If in Qabr you're getting so much azab, what will happen to you in Hashr? What will happen before Allah Ta'ala? What will happen Pul Sirat? What's going to happen? But in Qabr, if you got a tick and you passed, so now there's great hopes of him passing afterwards. Therefore I'm crying. I'm worried I do not know what's going to be my condition. Who's saying this? Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. And this couplets we have heard in Arabic, Urdu, English also. Hazrat Rahmatullah, he mentioned in his dua. وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ بِبْنِ آدَمَ بَاكِيًا. When a person is born, mother gives birth to a child. No child comes laughing into this world. Every child comes, the child is crying. And that's an alamat to show that the child got life. The child comes into this world crying. وَالنَّاسُ حَوْلَكَ يَضْحَكُونَ سُرُورًا. And these people around, the family, parents, family, all are happy. They're all laughing, they're all happy. MashaAllah, what a nice bundle of joy. فَعْمَلْ لِنَفْسِكَ أَن تَكُونَ إِذَا بَكَوْ فِي يَوْمِ مَوْتِكَ ضَاحِكًا مَسْرُورًا. Prepare and equip yourself so that on that day, when they will be crying on your demise, you must be smiling and happy and rejoicing. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat that we live in this world how Allah Ta'ala wants us to live. It is not difficult for that person whom Allah makes it easy for him. Shaitan and nafs makes it so difficult, as though you go through a huge forest and jungle and there's scorpions and snakes and lions and everybody waiting to kill you. No. This life in this dunya is short. Yes, there are obstacles that we all have to go through. But فَسْتَنُوا يَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Allah makes it so easy. Allah facilitates the way of Jannat for us. Provided we do what Allah tells us to do, we stay in good company, we stay refrain from sin, so that on the day when we leave this world, we are smiling. See the faces of shuhada. How many of them? If you have seen, and people who passed you in a good condition, a smile on the person's face. People who give ghusl. See, Mawlana, the man was smiling. Allah makes it that. What they must have seen, how angels of rahmat coming down. So people will be crying. I lost my father, I lost my husband, I lost my grandfather, I lost my child. People will be crying. But you will be masroor and happy going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdihi.